Good morning. We're in the middle of the sugya. We're dealing with the cotton. To briefly recap, as we've learned, a child is a lav bar das, and mikar hadin, he cannot make any kinyanim. He can. Nevertheless, the exception is by das acheres makne, someone gives him a gift, since there's a das acheres makne, zachon la'adam, shalai b'fanov. There, the item would belong to the cotton. Afopike in the halacha is if the cotton is if the person is a cotton, and certainly if he's saying mechal shulchan aviv, the halacha is that a matano that a child receives belongs to the father. Again, it's a din midrabanon, but that would be the halacha. If a child finds something, there's no das acheres makne. He just picks it up from the street. It's an aveda. It's a mitzia. So there, Maker Hadin, he cannot make a kinyan. And Maker Hadin, even after he picks it up, anyone is free to go ahead and grab it and take it away from him. Nevertheless, there is a second takana. Chazal saw that would cause problems, it would cause machlokes. And therefore, Chazal said that it is gezel midivrei, it's gezel midpnei darkei shalom. Once a child picks it up, it is usher for someone else to go ahead and take it. That is a case of a mitziah, something that's lying on the floor. For a child to buy or sell something, there the halacha is a child is a lav bar das, he cannot buy or sell anything. Nevertheless, we now have a third takana of pu'utos, that if there's a child who has a certain amount of das, anywhere between the age of 6 and 10, and he goes ahead and he buys or sells metalphalin, so here, if he is a yasim, there's no one taking care of him, he has no apotropos, he has no father, there the halacha is, we say, ma'is of kayim, because there's no one taking care of him, k'dei chayov, in order that he should be able to buy the food that he needs, he should be able to survive, the halacha is, midrabanon, he's allowed to buy and to sell. If he does have an apotropos, if he does have a father, he certainly cannot buy or sell anything. Afal pikein, there are poskim that say that a child could give a present. Part of the takana of Chazal was, of Pu'utos, was that a child can give a present. That's also considered kidei chayov, because if you want to deal with someone, if the person is not in any position to ever do you a favor to give you a present, people will not want to deal with him. Therefore, part of the takana of Pu'utos is to allow a child to give a present. And therefore, some place can say, when there's an apotropos, someone's taking care of him, so with Mekach u'Memkar, the apotropos, we can leave that to the apotropos. Let him do the buying and selling, and therefore there's no reason for a takana. However, a present, which the apotropos does not have the right to do, they are, according to some poskim, even a child, even if there is an apotropos, has the right to give him matana. This is a machlokes a poskim. The Mordechai paskins that even if you hold that he could give him matana, if there's a parent, not just an apotropos, but there's a parent taking care of the child, there he says, l'kulayamo, he cannot give a matan. This is all by a cotton. He's below the age of 13, he does not have simonim. Once the person becomes a gadol, there the halacha is, whatever he does, ma'is of kayim. He can buy, he can sell metalin. It doesn't matter whether or not it was a wise decision. Bottom line is, once he's a gadol, unless he has a din of a shaita, even though he's not that very bright, even though he's not very well versed in Mekach u'Memkar, still he's a gadol. He has the right to make decisions, and whatever actions he takes will be kayim, and the deal will be a valid deal. This is all by metalkalim. By karka, as we pointed out last week, there is another takana. There are actually another two takanas. Clearly, this whole area was something that Chazal were very concerned about people taking advantage of Tanim, and therefore there are a host of different takanas. But the first takana is that the first halacha is that this whole din of pu'utos, that we're going to allow a child to buy and sell, is only by metalthalin. When it comes to karka, he cannot, there's the halacha, the takana of pu'utos does not apply. And even more than that, even when the person becomes a gadol, still he needs a certain level, he has to be yodea b'tiv masa u'maton before we're going to allow him to sell karka. If you're dealing with a yerusha from a father, this is a property that he inherited from his father, there the halacha is, even if he's a gadol, even if he's a bar das, he knows what he's doing, still his actions are not kind. He cannot buy, he cannot sell the karka until he is the age of 20. Now, many Rishayim say this applies to any Rusha, lav dafka from a father, it can be from another relative. And they add that it's not only a Yerusha. If a father gave, as a matan, a shchiv merah, the father gave the son a present, since it came from the father, the same restrictions will apply. And you need to be 20 years old before you can sell it. Other Rishayim argue, it's stamba seka dina, question whether you can say kimli or not. But al kol panim, karka, you can never sell until you're a gadol, and the bardas, if it's karka that you got from your father, or perhaps another Yerusha, there the halach is you'd have to wait until you're 20 until you're able to sell. Correct. There's no exception for karka that he yashin from the father. Now, although this is true by mekachu memkar, renting karka, although there's a concept of halach of stiris is memkar liyoyme, nevertheless, since it's temporary in nature, there the halach is someone less than 20 could rent out or lease property that he yarshin from his father. There's no such restriction. Now, this is all discussion of a katan or a gadol. What we haven't addressed is that how do we define a gadol? Now, I think for most people that's pretty simple. Once a child is either bar or bas mitzvah, at that point he becomes a gadol. However, as we pointed out 2 weeks ago, this is not quite accurate. To become a gadol, you really need two things. You need to be a gadol b'shanim. You need to be a bar mitzvah. You also need simanim. You have to have beis sarais b'zakin ataftayim. You have to have physical simanim that prove that you are a gadol. Now, of course, this leads us to a question. Most people celebrate their children's bar mitzvah on the 13th birthday. We don't go ahead and wait until we establish they have simanim. So the question is, how do you deal with this issue? Do we have the right to assume that once a person's a bar mitzvah, he has simanim or not? And for that matter, going back to our example with the candy store, if a young man comes into your store, so we pointed out in the past 2 weeks, that if he's a katan, it's not so posh that you can sell him anything. So again, if the father knows about it, he has das, we have all sorts of heterim. But migur hadin, if you're doing a transaction with a katan, then it's very likely the transaction does not sell. So are you mechuyev, whenever you sell candy to a young adult, to card? Let's see your identification. You know, just like when you sell alcohol, you need some form of ID to see how old they are. Do you have a chiyev to go ahead and check, is this person really a gadol or not? So over here, there's a gemara in Nida Daf Mem Ches, famous Chazaka de Rava. So Rava paskins that once a katana reaches the age of 12, and the same thing would be true by a katan reaches the age of 13, the halacha is for miyun, you have the right to assume that they're a gadol. Because there's a chazaka that once they've hit the age of 12 or 13, once they're a gadol bishanim, there's a chazaka, they're also a gadol with simanim, and you don't have to investigate further. The problem is, the Gemara says, that's only true by miyun. By chalitza, there we cannot rely on this chazaka, and by chalitza you have to check. What's the difference between miyun and chalitza? So the way Paiskim explained is that miyun is a din derabbano. Miyun is talking about where there's a yisayim, where the brother or the mother marries her off. It's a derabbano dikadin. By a derabbano dikadin, once someone's a gadol b'shanim, once there's a bar or bas mitzvah, you don't have to do any investigations. We can assume they're really a gadol. You can do miyun. Chalitza is a doiraisa. And therefore, when it's a question of doiraisa, here we cannot rely on the chazaka, and there you have to check. And halacha l'maisa, when you're dealing with a bar mitzvah, if he's talking about leining, if he's davening for the amud, or doing anything which is a derabbanon dikachiyav, and there the halacha is we're samech on the chazaka derava, we don't have to check, and that's why by mitzvah we have no problem with him leining or davening for the amud. However, if you're dealing with something which is a doiraisa, you're being made to someone for a chiyav midoiraisa, there the halacha is you cannot rely on this chazaka, and that's why until they're older, until they grow a regular beard where you can, it's clear they are a gadol, we do not allow a kohen to be moitzi other people, or not kohen, we do not allow a bar mitzvah bacher to be moitzi people for a doiraisa. What about mekach u'memkar? What's the halacha if a young adult, a bar mitzvah bacher, sells something, and then afterwards there's a fight? Was he really, was the child or the bar mitzvah bacher says, I was a kohen, I want to undo the deal. And the buyer says, no, you're already 13 years old. Perhaps you're a gadol. So what's the halach? So we have until now that if it's a savak derabbanon, if it's a shayva derabbanon, we rely on the chazaka derava. We assume he's a gadol. If it's a shayva deraisa, what's the halacha? There we do not rely on the chazaka. And until we check, until we have simanim, we have to be choishes that he's still a katan. What about mekach u'memkar? So, al pi svara, what should the halacha be? If the chazaka is such a weak chazaka that it doesn't help for doraisa, certainly you shouldn't be able to be moitzi mamon with this chazaka. It's a suffix. We don't know for sure. By doraisa we're machmer, so we shouldn't be able to be moitzi mamon. The problem is that Taisus that we learned last week in Bavas and Kufrin Dalit. So he's talking about such a case where someone sold something, then he died, and there was a question whether he was a gadol or a katan. And the buyer wanted to dig up the grave and check, does he have simanim or not? So the Gemara says that he can't do it because it's nevel hames, and also because simanim, the body changes at the time of death, and therefore, even if you find simanim, maybe they were not there while he was alive. Various cheshbonos. Frektoisvis, why do you have to go ahead, dig up the grave, and check to see if he has simanim? Chazaka derava. Once we can establish he's 13 years old, we just look at the birth certificate, find out how old he was, we should have the right to assume he's a gadol. Comes along the rush, she to move about this, and says, what kind of kash is that? Chazaka derava is a weak chazaka. It only helps for a derabanan. For a shayla of doi rais, it doesn't help. So the same way it doesn't help for Doi Raisa, Zok the Rosh, you cannot be Maitzi Mamon based on this Chazaka. And until you can prove they have Simanim, you have to assume he's a Kohen. It depends on the Muchzik, it depends on the case. But if the case is that depending on who paid or who didn't pay, but if the item was already given over, and the child or his Yerushim the buyer wants to force you to give the item because you made a Kenyan, and the seller says, I was a kohen. So we should say, I'm Moitzi Mechayel Varai. Until you can prove he's a gadol, you can't force him to give over the item. So the Rosh paskins that by Dine Mamonis, it's a suffix, and you cannot be Moitzi Mamon based on this chazaka, because at the end of the day, we don't know for sure what the story is. Correct. It'll depend who the muchzik is. Sometimes the buyer will be the muchzik, sometimes the seller will be the muchzik. Depends on the item, it also depends on who paid. Each case will be different. But the point of the Rosh is, this chazaka is a weak chazaka, and you can't rely on it, just like you can't rely on it for a Doraisa, you can't rely on it to be Moitzi Mamon. If, depending on who the muchzik is, the muchzik will end up winning. If the child, we'll call him the child, still has the item, or his Yerushim have it, you want to force him to sell it to you because a kinyan was done, you can say, no, we're the muchzik. We're going to say that he didn't have simanim, and you can't force us to pay it just because of this chazaka derav. And this is the rush that's brought down the Shittu Mekubetzis. Now the problem is that Taisus asked the kasha. Taisus had the kasha on the Gemara was, why? What do you have to dig him up? Why don't we rely on this chazaka? It sounds like Taisus held that you can rely on this chazaka even to be moitzi mamon. What happened? If this is such a weak chazaka, it doesn't help for doraisa. What says this kasha that by dinei mamonos we should rely on the chazaka derava? So to answer this, to go back to we have to go to another machlokes. There was a story. It's actually Reb Kveger deals with this story. There was a sofer. Now the sofer was a very, very big bal chesed. There was a yosim in town. There was no one supporting him. So the sofer took the yosim into his house. He supported him, and he started teaching him how to become a sofer. He trained him in, and then he had this young man help him write tefillin for him. He wrote the tefillin. The Sefer sold it, and eventually they moved out. He moved out of town. One day, someone realized that this child had been writing tefillin for a couple of years. No one had ever checked whether, well, they knew that he was a bar mitzvah, but no one had ever checked whether he has simanim. Now, a child cannot write tefillin. Tefillin is a chiyuv d'oraisa. So the question is, are you yoytzev mitzvah tefillin with these tefillin that were written by a child? Zakru kiveger, no. Since it's a question of d'oraisa, and we have no, although he was a bar mitzvah, we have no raya that he had simanim. It's a suffix d'oraisa, it's like chalitza. You cannot rely on the chazaka. Kiveger says the tefillin are possible. Nadav Yehuda argues. Nadav Yehuda says like this. He says, what's the pshat? Why? For a d'oraisa, for a d'rabbanan we rely on this chazaka, for a d'oraisa we don't. Well, what kind of halacha is this? But if it's a weak chazaka, where do you find such a day? If it's a good chazaka, it should help for both. If it's not a good chazaka, it shouldn't help for a derabanan. What's the pshat? Why does it work for a derabanan and not for a deraisa? Zog the Noy de Yehuda, and Ksav Sefer also, he has many rayas to this. He says the pshat is not that it's a weak chazaka. Chazaka derava is a wonderful chazaka. Once you're bar mitzvah, you can assume they're a gadol even with simon. The reason why we don't rely on it is, anytime you have a chazaka, we have a suffix, and we don't know what the halacha is. So there's a chazaka that tells us one way. So it's true, when we're stuck, we don't know what to do, and there's a chazaka, we'll rely on that chazaka. Zuck the Noy de Behuda, over here, why are you relying on a chazaka? What's the big deal? Take the child and check. If the child's not here, and we have a suffix, so there, chazaka is a way to figure out what to do when there's a suffix. But if it's Efshar Levuri Bakao, all you have to do is check. Who needs chazakos? Why should we go ahead and rely on chazakos and assumptions? It's probably like this. It's usually like this. Go ahead, check. Either yes or no and move on. Zakh Noy de Yehuda, by a shayla of d'oraisa, if you can check, you have a chiyuv to go ahead and check. You can't rely on any chazakos. By a d'rabbanon, since anyway the halacha is suffix d'rabbanon makula. So there, when there is a chazaka that tells us also that it's motor, even though you can check, there's no chiv to check. And therefore, Zakh the Noy de Yehuda, the whole difference between the Rabbanon and Daraisa is the child's here. If you want to, we can check. So by Daraisa, you have a chiv to check. You can't rely on the chazaka. The Rabbanon, there's no chiv. But in Kivagar's case, what happened? This young man wrote the Sifrei, the tefillin, and then he skipped down. There's no way to check whether there's a gadol or a katan. Zakh the Noy de Yehuda, when it's not Efshar Levrure, so we have a chazaka. This chazaka, he says, even by a d'oraisa is fine. And therefore, the Noy de Yehuda paskins, even by a d'oraisa, when it's not possible to check, we can assume once they're 13 years old, they're a gadol.
It was possible to check when he wrote the...
That's true, but right now it's not. And since right now we have a suffix, Malkum suffix, we're samech on this chazaka. He says it's a strong chazaka, even for a d'oraisa. It's only when he's here, we have a suffix today, and we have a way to avoid relying on chazakas, there you have a chiyuv to do. So to come out according to this Noy de Yehuda, let's go back to Tosis. Tosis' kasha was what? Tosis said that let's rely, we don't know, there was an item was sold. We don't know whether this child had simanim or not. So Zog Tosis, let's rely on chazaka de Rab. So what was the kasha? The kasha was, how can you rely on chazaka? It's a weak chazaka. It shouldn't work because just like it doesn't work for deraisa, it shouldn't work for mamonis. According to the Noy de Yehuda, it's beautiful. The chazaka is a great chazaka. There's a halacha when you can avoid relying on chazakas by deraisa, you have to go ahead and check. Over here, the child was dead. And the halacha over here is nivul hametz. You can't dig up. It's not digging up the kever is certainly not easy. It's certainly not easy, and it could be it's also. So in such a case where you can't check, there Taisa says chazaka deravo. Let's rely on this chazaka. He held like the Noy de Yehuda. This is a good chazaka. The Rosh Mestame held like Rukh Kivega. That it's a weak chazaka, and therefore the same way it doesn't work for deraisa, doesn't work for dinei mamonos. But according to Tosis and according to the Noy de Yehuda, the chazaka is a good chazaka. It's just a question of whether if there's an option to check, you have a chiyuv to do so. And therefore, it'll really depend on the case. But if you cannot check, even by dinei mamonos, Tosis holds, you could rely on the chazaka.
Can you keep your finger on the weak chazaka?
Exactly. He holds it's a weak. It's a weak chazaka. The Pnimi Gadim suggests because there's a mir hamotzi, which is an exception. He has a problem with that, but he holds it's a weak chazaka. It can only work for Drabon. It cannot work for either Doraisa. And Lechari the same. Who I didn't afford to be mighty mamim. Excuse me. Okay, that's a good question. There's another whole machlokes. Oh, very good. So there is a concept of there is a chazaka of a chazaka de hashta. That if there is in Hilchas Eidos, if a young man is meir, and now we realize that he was a gadol, we never checked him for simanim. So over there, it's actually also I believe it comes from the Rosh, but the Mechaber Paskins in Simon Lamed Hei, that if you check him and he's a gadol, you have the right to assume that he was a that if he's a gadol today, there's a chazaka de hashta, and you can assume he was a gadol when he was meir. Now the chazaka de hashta is a bit of a shvach chazaka. Because he wasn't always a gadol, it obviously changed. But we say if he was already 13 when he testified, and now that we check him, we see he's a gadol. There is a chazaka dehashta, and there he says you are soimich on it to be moitzi mamon. Even there, I don't know. I didn't see anywhere it makes a chiluk. Even over there, the Pesach Tshuva and many bring down it's a seker dedina that you cannot be moitzi mamon with a chazaka de rava, even when there is a chazaka dehashta. So it's at best a seker dedina. When you do not have a chazaka dehashta, when you never checked him, or he's not around, he's just not, you don't know where he is, he could be he died the next day, in that case, it would be very hard to be moitzi mamon. It's nice to know you're behudo, it's a diik from Taisus, but it would be very, the halacha, you're not going to be able to be moitzi mamon. Correct. Unless you check with simanim, you do not know he's a gadol, and it's going to be a suffix. The same way for doraisa, you cannot be moitzi you for doraisa. You're not going to be able to moitzi mamon. Now, if the other person is a moksik already, then it could be once he's a moksik, he's a moksik. Now you'll have to be careful because by metalkalin he'll be a moksik. By karka, if he's selling karka, the marikama is usually considered the moksik. But in a normal case where he's buying and selling, metalkalin, there the seller will usually be a moksik. You will not be able to moitzi unless you can prove he doesn't have simanim, which is not a very easy thing to do. That's all the shmuz of where there's the chazaka meikar and chazaka dehashta. That's the whole sugya. It's not for now, but that touches upon this discussion where the Rosh is saying when there's a chazaka dehashta and it's more than that. There's also a chazaka derava with two of them together. There, the mechaber at least paskins works. It's good edus. You can be moitzi mamon. Even that, although the mechaber says it, the pesach tshuva brings down the argue and says it's a sefek dedina. But when you don't have a chazaka dehashta there, it's certainly not going to be able to be mighty mamon. Now, there's just one last case, a fascinating case that the Ksav Sefer talks about before we move on to the next topic. And the Ksav Sefer deals with a case where, actually, my bar mitzvah was on an Erev Sukkos. Now, what would be if you have a bar mitzvah? Now, the year before is bar mitzvah. What happened when it came to a lulav and esrog? So as we discussed last week, the halacha is the katan needs his own lulav and esrog because it has to be lochem. You have to give it to him the first day. And as we learned last week, the halacha is a child you can give it to him. Das echeres makia. For him to give it back to the father doesn't work. So therefore, either the father can make sure he's yotze first, but then he has a problem the second day in chutz laretz. Or he has to make sure he has his own lulav and esrog. So the hiayoyim, you had this bach. His bar mitzvah was erev sukkos. So he figures. So he figures. If last year before I was bar mitzvah, I got a lulav and my father bought me a lulav and esrog. This year I'll get even a nicer one from my father. Comes to his father. And his father tells him nothing doing. Last year you were a cotton, so you couldn't use mine because if I gave it to you, you couldn't give it back to me. We had a problem. This year you're a gadol. I bought one lulav and esrog for myself, and I'll be happy to give it to you afterwards. So, the child turns to his father and says, oh, very good. But lulav and esrog is what? Is a chiv d'oraisa. So it's true I'm a gadol. It was my bar mitzvah yesterday. But that just means I'm a gadol b'shanim. You don't know whether I have simanim or not. Since you don't know if I have simanim, it's a savik d'oraisa. On a savik d'oraisa, you can't be saimich on the chazaka d'rava. And therefore, you have to go ahead and you have to buy me my own lulav and esrog. You know, in a comment, first day. Oh, so the father goes back. So the father goes back, and he says, no, it's not true. Why? Because really, we mentioned last week, can a child give a lulav and esrog b'matana to someone else? So pu'uta is once he's over the age of between 6 and 10, so according to many shitas, even if he has an apotropos, he can give a matana. Again, Mordechai said, if he has a father, maybe he can't. It was a sfeika d'din. So the father tells the child, over here, we have two sfeikas. Number one, maybe you're a gadol. Maybe you have simonim. Even in Timtza Loimer, you're still a kohen, but still, maybe the halacha is that pu'utos can give a matana. So since I have a svek sveika, even though by Doraisa we don't rely on Chazaka de Rava, here we have a svek sveika. Since we have a svek sveika, I don't have to get by your own lulav and esrog, and I can be mitzi with yours. What?
Like very
well, you can give a matana. You can give it to the child a matana amenas lahachse. You can force him to give it. So he has a sex echo. Sounds like a good taina. Zog, the Ksav Sefer B'Shem, the Prima Gavim. So the son has a good comeback. The son can say, it's true. If you have a piece of meat in front of you, and you don't know whether it's kosher or treif, it's a savak d'oraisa, that's how halacha is, we can rely on a sex echo. And if there's a sex echo, you're allowed to eat it. But that's b'dieved. You have the piece of meat, you're stuck, you don't know what to do, it's a savak. So if it's one savak d'oraisa or chumra, sex sveiko, you can be mekel. But to go ahead lichad chila and create a sex sveiko in order to be mekel, that you can't do. So if the father is going to go ahead and give the lulav and esrog to the child, relying on the fact that afterwards it'll be a sex sveiko lahakol, that it will be able to give it back because maybe it's a gadol and even it's a cotton, maybe it's pu'utos, you're relying on a sex sveiko lichad chila. So the child tells the father, nothing doing. You have to buy me your own set this year. Zakh Ksav Sofer.
This is assuming it's the discussion going on before. Meaning, once it's going on after, Ksav Sofer will apply.
If the father already bought it and gave it to the child and he wants it back, so you're right. Then that's after the fact. But if they're discussing, you know, once it's Sukkot, no one's finding an esrog for this young man. They're discussing beforehand whether he's going to buy him a little of an esrog this year for Yontif. Zakh the Ksav Sofer. No, Hefker is not going to be any better. Zavta Kesav Sofer, the child's wrong. Why? It's true, we don't rely on a Svek Svek Lechachil. Which means if you have a piece of meat, it's usher to eat it, you have to come onto a Svek Svek. So there, Lechachil, we don't do it, it's only a Din B'Diyat. But Zavta Kesav Sofer, really, this person, he's a Bar Mitzvah. If he's a Bar Mitzvah, there's a Chazaka D'Rava. Chazaka D'Rava tells us, don't worry, he's a gadol. No shy. Why do we check by Doraisa? Zakik Saf Sefer, he's going like the Noy de Behuda. The reason why we check is if there's any doubt and there's a way, easy way to check. So why rely on Chazakos? Why rely on Lundus? Go check and move on. Zakik Saf Sefer. In this case, Meikar Hadin, because of the Chazaka, you can assume for sure it's a gadol. Elamai, there's a halacha. When you could check, don't rely on chazakos. Veer, when there's a svek sveka anyway, even when you could check, don't bother. But at the end of the day, the father doesn't have to rely on a svek sveka to assume that it's a gadol. The reason why the father's allowed to do it is because there's a chazaka derava. That is relying on the charchiwa. It's the svek sveka is just making it that normally there's a rule of if you can check, don't rely on chazakos. On that, the Svek Sveka tells us, in this case, you can rely on the Chazaka, don't bother checking. But, since at the end of the day, there is a Chazaka, which is a good Chazaka, it's a Chazaka that works even by Doraisa, that's what the father has. He's using the Svek Sveka just to get rid of the Chiv to check. There he says, you can rely on that Lechad Chila, and the Ksav Sofer says, that is not a problem, and you do not have to buy the young man an Esrog. Svek Sveka in Siman is a very complex topic. The Shach, after going through, I think, 41 Se'ifim of Klale Svek Sveka, his last Klale is we don't make up Svek Svekas on our own. You have to find something which is mamish, very similar to a case of the Gemara because it's a very difficult sugya. No, because it's two different. There's one topic whether he's a Gadol. And even if he's a kohen, there's a suffix, maybe there's a din, he qualifies a din of pu'utos. It's two completely separate sfeikos. Every suffix, at the end of the day, we want to know whether this meat is kosher or a tray. But if there are two completely separate reasons, which are independent of each other, then that can be a sfeik. So you're right, there is a concept of kulo chada sfeikahi, but that's all when both sfeikos, or both reasons why it should be mutter, are really related or the same, or they're the same in halacha. When it's two independent reasons, one reason is maybe he's a gadol, and the second reason, even if you're caught in, there's a whole new din of peutzos. There would be a din of sex sveka. Okay, now just to go me in by say inyan. Until now, we're talking about a child, someone who is a lav bar das because he was a cotton. I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about someone who is a lav bar das because he is a shoita. What is the definition of a shoita? Now today, anytime anyone disagrees with you, he votes for the other political party, suddenly he's a shaita, he's a fool. In halacha, at what point do you say he's a lav bar das? So over here, the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Gimel, says, Tanu Rabbanon, Ezehu shaita. What is the definition of a shaita? So the Gemara gives three simanim. Hayotze yichidi belayla. He travels alone at night. V'halom debes ha'kvarois. He sleeps in a cemetery. He rips his clothing. If he does these three things, he has a din of a shaita. So the Gemara asks, do you have to do all three, or is one enough? And it's a machlokes. Machlokes amayrom. We hold one of the three is enough. Now this is a pretty limited list. We probably all know a lot of mishugaim, who are real mishugaim, who happen not to have access to a cemetery. They don't sleep in a cemetery. So what's the pshat over here? It's like this. The Mordechai in Gittin seems to say that to be a shaita, you have to do one of these three things. If you don't do one of these three things, you don't have a din of a shaita. Many people have their hang-ups. Many people do interesting things. To be a real shaita, you have to do one of these three. The Rambam that we have in Maror Mekoymis today argues, and the Rambam says this is not an exhaustive list. This is just three examples. Why these three examples were picked is a good kasha. The Beis Ephraim deals with it. But the Rambam just says these are just, you know, a dugma, these are just examples. But any person that acts like a shaita is taka a shaita. Now the Achrayim generally, now it turns out this Rambam is a very big chumra. Because the cases that the tshuvas deal with in general are a case where you have a husband and wife, and at some point the husband goes mashogah. Now, a shoyta cannot give a get. So if you hold like the Mordechai, that to be a shoyta, to qualify as a shoyta, you have to be sleeping in the cemetery or ripping your clothing. So if someone else, even though he's a little interesting, he's acting a little strange, he's not a shoyta, he can still give a get. But according to the Rambam, any time a person does something which he's acting like a shoyta, he's already has a din of a shoyta. You'll end up with many more situations where the husband cannot give a get to his wife. Now, what most Achrayim point out is the Rechayim, is the Beis Ephraim, a number of tshuvas. Most Achrayim say like this. Everyone agrees that if the person is a real shaita, even though there happens not to be a cemetery in town, so Pasha can't sleep in the cemetery, he's still a shaita. The issue only is what happens, and this is, I think, is quite common. You have a person. You can talk to him. You can have a conversation with him. He may even have a job. And he can be perfectly normal. And then, every once in a while, he does things that are absolutely crazy, absolutely insane. So do we say, okay, 90, he's 95% normal. He has a hang-up. We all have hang-ups. But he has a din of pikach. He can give a get. Or do we say no? If we see that he does this thing, which is a meister shtus, that shows that all is not well. Beneath the surface, something's going on. And therefore, although you can talk to him about politics, he can run most of his life in a normal way, we can't rely on him. He's not a bar das, and we have to be choshes meister or not kind. So it comes out that in a case where he's clearly a shoita, he's acting crazy, even if he doesn't do one of these three things, l'kuliyam, he says, we'll have a din of a shaita. It's only when he acts normal most of the time, and he just has one or two things that he does as ma'isa shtus, there the Rambam says, once we see one ma'isa shtus, that proves to us he's a shaita, and therefore, regardless of what he does the rest of the day, he cannot give a get. The Mordechai would argue, the Mordechai would say, these three simanim in the Gemara, these things are things that once we see it, we know all is not well, we have to give him a din of a shaita. But another person who acts normally the rest of the day and just does something strange, something off, there, that might be his only hang-up, and there, he would have the ability to give a get. Now, in Halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, Divrei Chaim points out that in Shulchan Aruch, in the Nois HaKelem, in the Gedolei HaTshuvos, they all seem to go with the Rambam. They all seem to go that if there's any dovrish of Meshugas, there he has a din of a shaita. Mitzad Sheni, the Rechaim says that there was a get story in the door before that the Beis Ephraim is dealing with, and there are a number of other tshuvos, and he says many of the Gdoili HaPoiskim of that door were makel based on the Mordechai. Now, if you look through the tshuvos, there are other tsarufim they have over there. It's a difficult inyan, but that is really the issue: whether a person that acts normal most of the time but has something strange, what status does he have? Being an aide is actually what we'll see is a bit different. The Rambam has a second chiddush. Actually 2 points before we get to the Rambam. The first point is that even according to the Rambam, that anything that you do, even one thing, is enough to make a person to a shaita. Most poskim say you have to have a chazaka that you do this at least 3 times. Doing it once, that most poskim say, doesn't mean anything. Now others argue. Others say if you do something that is absolutely no pshat. Even the way, if it's something that a normal person would never do, so even once shows there's something wrong with the person. But most places can base Yosef, and most places can argue, and they say that you need a chazaka, you need to be doing it regularly. Now the Rambam has another chiddush. Until now we're talking about a shaita. Shaita is a person; he may be very intelligent. The Beis Ephraim talks about a case where the person, it was a question whether he was a shaita. He was absolutely brilliant at math. But the Beis Ephraim says, Shaita is not a question of intelligence. Shaita is a question of das, a question of whether he's a pekeach or not. And that would be the question over there. What happens if a person is just low intelligence? He has a very low IQ. At what point do we say the person is a Shaita? So the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos Perek Tes, Halacha Yud, says that Hapisam beYoiser, someone who is a fool. So the way the Rambam defines Shein Makirim Dvarim Shesayisrim Zeh, you can tell them two things that are flat out contradictions. They're not bright enough to put the two together and to say that something doesn't add up. These two things cannot be true. They just don't understand things. They don't understand what's happening around them like other people do. So the Rambam says he has a din of a shaita. So according to the Rambam, if you have someone who just does not understand what's going on in the world, there can be two things that are flat out contradictions. He doesn't understand these two things can't coexist. He has a din of a pesi, he has a din of a shaita, and he'll be possible eidos. Zog the Ma'arit and the Igros Moshe. This is a din in Eidos. Eidos, a person testifies in Beis Din. So when someone comes in, you want to rely on his testimony. If the person doesn't understand what's going on around him, you can't rely on what he says. Maybe he saw something, he didn't understand it, he misunderstood it. So for Eidos to rely on his story, there the Igros Moshe and the Ma'arit say, there the Rambam saying, if he's not intelligent, he has a din of a shaita, you can't accept his Eidos. However, for other things, if it's a question of whether he can make Kedushin, be Megarish his wife, so Kedushin and Gerushin, it's not depend on intelligence. As long as he's not a Shaita, as long as you explain to him, he knows what he's doing, there the Ma'arit and the Igros Moshe Paskin, that this Rambam will not apply. The Rambam is only for Eidos, because we can't rely on him, he's not reliable. But for other things, as long as he knows what he's doing, even though he's not intelligent, he's not bright, still, as long as you can, at the time, you explained it to him, he knew what he was doing, there his actions will be kind. There is a different, the different Malkiel and Beis Ephraim both seem to argue. They seem to extend it, hold it, this Rambam, the Medayik from the Smichus HaDvarim, that he's saying a din of a Shaita. But again, it's the Gros Moshe holds as Dover Pasha, the halacha is that this is only for Hilchos Eidos. For anything else, if you need, a person wants to give a get, in the case of the Gros Moshe's case, is the case of Chalitza, there he says, even we don't look at intelligence, as long as he does not qualify as a Shaita, his actions will be Kayim. Yeah, everyone agrees. Someone who's a real shaitzah l'chol dvarav certainly is not good as an aid. Bottom line is, you're relying on his testimony to be mitzi moment. You can't do that if the person is la by das.
If the person is completely normal but completely unknowledgeable in, let's say, in business, mechachomemka.
Unknowledgeable doesn't. Lack of knowledge doesn't make a difference. By a cotton, we learned there was something. By a gadol, if he's under 20, he's selling karka that he got from his father. Also, if he doesn't, he's not your debitiv maso matan. But once he's a gadol, his actions are kayim. It's only when either he's a shaita or he's someone who, according to the Rambam, if you argue in the Ma'arit and you hold it applies to everything, if he's not capable, he's just doesn't have the intelligence to understand things, then he has the din of a shaita. But again, according to the Ma'arit, even in such a case, certainly if he has the intelligence, he just not doesn't have the experience, there Lekulayama, he's responsible for his actions and so there are two separate halachas. As far as the halach, the Rambam's chiddush is that if he's a pesi, Pasha doesn't understand, he can't understand things, then he's possible. Now you want to know if a person comes in and he starts saying Eidos, and it's clear from when they start asking him questions, doesn't know what's going on, whether Bezdin will believe him. Good. So that'll be up to Bezdin to figure out whether this is reliable testimony. But as far as a psul, as far as you want to know the categories of psul, there's a psul of Shaita, and there's a psul according to the Rambam of a Pesi who Pasha can't understand things. With difficulty. It's the Rambam writes that you can't give klolim for this. It's something which you have to look at each case and see whether he's a bar das or not. At the end of the day, it's going to be subjective. Clearly, being brilliant or mathematical or something like that will have absolutely no impact, because that's not what das is. Das doesn't mean math. Das means das and pikeach and certain maturity of development. Mm-hmm. It's not an out. It's these things of these items. You don't understand two contradictory things. Now we can go ahead. I'm saying someone can go ahead and give you two mathematical formulas that don't work. That they both can't be true. But no one in the room, including myself, will understand that. On the other hand, if you night and day are two concepts which everyone would understand. So what does the Rambam mean? What type of contradictions do you have to be able to recognize to be considered a la vardas? And what does it mean you don't understand things like other people? This is very subjective. And the point of the Rambam is that you can't put these things down on paper. You have to die in and you have to see the person and see where he stands to make a decision. So the Halicha Shleima brings down that he has no chiv to go ahead. His case is where the Bar Mitzvah Bachur walks in. He's the tzenter. The Bar Mitzvah Bachur knows he doesn't have simonim. So the Halicha Shleima says b'shem Shlomo Zalman, he does not have a chiv to go ahead and to tell them. I don't know. He doesn't explain what the reason for the psak is, but that is the psak that he gives. Right, he might be even claiming. He might also be claiming on by the Rabbanon b'shoigig. There's a nesivus that says that if they don't realize if it's b'shoigig, then there's no iser. But over here, it's not a question of iser. It's a question of the mekayim a mitzvah of tila b'tzibur. Right. So again, I don't. Halicha Shleim says such a thing at least in a gei minyan. I don't know what the pshat is or how far to apply it. Okay, so now Baruch Hashem, I want to be Medea the Olam that my son's bar mitzvah was yesterday already. So for now, we're going to move on to the next topic next week. We do have a week in between, and it's already Elul next week, but because many people are still away, we're still on a bit of a summer schedule. I think we're going to give a special one-week shiur on mistaken prices on airline tickets. Thank you.